إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm in London and my hotel is around the corner from Buckingham Palace. Now, yesterday I went for a walk and like all good tourists, I stood in front of the palace and walked. Wondering at how limited mankind's imagination is when it comes to displaying grandeur. The only thing that we seem to have is to do the same thing but do it bigger. Now, I mean, how retarded is that? That's it's a ridiculous way of expressing grandeur, because at the end of the day, if you have a house with 3 rooms or you have a house with 300 rooms, it's still a house. Just because it's big, what makes it better? You can't even possibly sleep in those 300 rooms if there are 300 bedrooms. I mean, it would be highly inconvenient and completely ridiculous if you had to sleep in a different bed every night for no rhyme or reason. So here we have this is a great and famous palace, and we have any number of such palaces, bigger than this or smaller than this, in different parts of the world, all with the same purpose behind them, that the grandeur of kings must impose itself on the imagination and on the hearts and minds of people and strike fear in them, so that the people may be overawed with the glory and magnificence of worldly kingdoms. But the thought that immediately came to my mind is actually two thoughts. One was that what is the value of a kingdom that you have to give up invariably, willy-nilly, inevitably, you have to give it up. There is no way that that kingdom is going to last. There's no way that that kingdom will remain yours. You have to give it up. And long before you actually give it up physically, by when you die, is you start giving it up gradually in terms of what you can do with it. You may have the fastest speedboat, for example, but a time comes when you can't drive them anymore. You may have the best horses, but a time comes when you have to content yourself with standing and watching them run because you can't ride anymore. You may have the best hunting preserves, but a time comes when even the best Holland in Holland will not allow you to hit the pheasant because your hands are shaking. My brothers and sisters, this was the thought in my mind, to say that how much more difficult it is to leave this world when you have so much. The second thought in my mind was that at the end of the day, what are we trying to say when we fall into the trap of aggrandizement, of spending on ourselves, the trap of ostentation, the trap of superfluous spending? What are we really trying to do? We're trying to convince ourselves that we are successful, that we have so-called, as they say, arrived. But arrived where? Successful how? Because success, like everything else, is a matter of definition. What is successful to one person is not successful to another person. We have this case of many of our children, for example, who many parents give them up as being completely, utterly useless, bound to be complete failures in life. But then the child goes and excels and becomes a great chef, for example. Now, it's not a traditional career, I mean, for most people. you're not a doctor or an engineer or something, or a civil servant or an attorney, or maybe the person becomes highly successful as a trainer of horses, or becomes highly successful in some in gardening, for example, right? Making the world green one garden at a time. I mean, that's his motto in life, and he is highly successful doing that. So the point is that success is a matter of definition. So what is success? The best definition of success is the definition given by the one who will decide whether you and I are successful. And that one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. He said, the successful one is the one who has been freed from the fire and has been entered into Jahannam, into Jannah. The one who has been freed from Jahannam, from the fire, and entered into Jannah, faqad faz. He is the only one who is successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. And the life of this world is nothing but deception. Nothing but deception. It tells us, for example, Buckingham Palace is not a home. Buckingham Palace is not about sleeping comfortably in the night. Buckingham Palace is not about a family and keeping the family together and mutual love and affection and respect for the elders and faithfulness to your spouses. It's not about that. It's about show, it's about pomp, it's about glory. Pomp and glory of a kingdom that no longer exists. And this is not only about Buckingham Palace, this is about all of us and all our lives, because it's only a matter of scale. It's only a matter of scale. Our houses may not be as big as Buckingham Palace, but our attitude is exactly the same as the owners of Buckingham Palace, which is that we are engrossed and completely drowning in this world, defining success incorrectly, and then chasing that, and believe me, you will chase it until you fall down dead, still chasing it. Because that success is never going to happen. It's just more of the same. It is just more of the same. Now, how boring is that? Now, what kind of way of living life is that? Just more of the same. Whereas the real success, as I said, defined by the one who will decide whether you and I are successful. And that success is to be freed from the hellfire and to be entered into Jannah forever. And to realize, in order to be able to focus on that definition of success, we have to realize, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this world is nothing but deception. I remind myself in you to live this life of this world as Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, to live this life as if you are a traveler, because you are a traveler. You are headed for the real destination. You will have arrived when you enter Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the dua I make for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab, and the company of his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you can be truly say to yourself that I have arrived, alhamdulillah. You will have arrived only and only then, not when you get some momentary title, not when you get some momentary bauble in this world. This world, my brothers and sisters, is a very fickle world. People like you as long as you say things that they like to hear. And the minute you say something they don't like to hear, the minute you are truthful to yourself, the minute you have the integrity to say what needs to be said, not what people want to hear. The minute you say what needs to be said, not what people want to hear, the same people who used to sing your praises and used to say, I love you for the sake of Allah, now start hating you for their own sake. And they say, how dare you say this? How dare I say this? How dare I say something that I consider to be good for you? SubhanAllah. This is life. This is life. Nothing to be disappointed about that. That is this dunya. And anyone who falls into the trap of this dunya and who thinks that this is real, SubhanAllah, that person is truly, completely misguided. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this misguidance and always to keep us conscious of His definition of success. وَمَنْ زُخْزِعَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. And to keep us conscious of the thought that we must continuously live by. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la without hisab. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do that which pleases Him and save you from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.